Kind of all over the place. You might consider this an after Easter message. So before we jump back, we actually are going to be in the book of John quite a bit today. That's where we'll finalize. But before we get there, we are going to look at this story in all four Gospels and try to answer the question, are we following or fishing? And I want to say that this week I've had on my heart all week this idea that, man, after Easter, what are we supposed to do, right? And I know what we're supposed to do. I mean, as a pastor, Sunday's coming the next week too, and that Sunday is also extremely important. But I just feel like, and I've told this to our men in men's prayer time, and I mentioned it on Wednesday as well, but I feel like there's something in our head that thinks, okay, we did Easter, now we'll go back about our business, right? And I want to make sure that that's not us today. I want to make sure we're continuing for the Lord. So we're going to look at a message, and if you're here Wednesday night, I preached a sermonette. If you're here Wednesday night and you heard my sermonette, would you say amen? Amen. It's the shortest sermon I ever preached. So for y'all that think I can't preach short, you should have been here Wednesday. It was 6 minutes. But what I'm going to do now is preach the sermon. So there you go. Now, I will say this. I've preached these texts. I've preached this story. I'm adding to it today, and I made it a little different. But I preached this here before. And I preached this. I was like, I know I've preached this before, because this is one of my favorite messages that I've ever sort of developed, something that the Lord showed me, and then I worked on it for a few years. And so I've preached here before. You know when I preached it? It was October the 2nd of 2022. It was the first time I ever preached at Central Baptist Church. It was Sunday school the day that I was candidating. So if you were here October the 2nd, 2022, when I was candidating for Sunday school, raise your hand. Okay, that's very few people that were here. Amen. So now that's what I thought. So here we go. For most of you, it's going to be a brand new message. For those of you who were here, who remembers this one? Oh, okay, maybe. All right, amen. Well, you're going to get it twice. I'm sorry. If you're my wife, it's like the eighth time she's heard it, because I've preached it a little bit. But the truth that I found when I was studying through this has impacted me. And so I want to share it. And as I was thinking about John 21 this week, and that's what my sermonette was out of on Wednesday, as I thought about that, I just kept thinking, I'm going to have to preach it. I'm going to have to deal with it. And so that's where we are today. So hopefully everyone has one of these little sheets right here. Has everyone got one of these? All right, if you don't have one of these, do we have any left? Okay, Brother Mark's got a few extra. So if you're going to need this. If you get this, it'll help me preach faster, okay? So everyone needs one. If you need one, just raise your hand. Anybody? Yeah, I think you got everybody. Good job, Brother Mark. All right, you're going to need that handy as we're going to really, our text is out of John 21, and you're going to think we're never going to get there, okay? But we are going to get there. We'll be in John 21 by the time we're done. You're going to also think that it's Sunday school. About halfway through, you're going to go, man, this is like Sunday school. But just hang with me, and I think this will be a help to you. Okay, so look in your Bible here at Matthew 4 and verse 17 through 22. And we're going to do this morning because I have a lot of different readings to do. I'm just going to pray, and then we'll get started. Amen? All right, let's pray. Lord, we do thank you for the day, and I thank you for already the truth that we've heard in the songs that we've sung. And Lord, I thank you for the time we've already shared together. We ask now that you would bless as we look into your word here, and as we look at this truth that comes out of the really looking at all four of these gospels and how they surround the events that your disciples went through here, Lord, we just pray that you give us a clarity, give us some help, especially here after Easter, as there tends to be a spiritual lull. Lord, it's our nature as humans to kind of tap the brakes and get back to our old ways. And Lord, help us to see that's not what we should do. I pray your word would do that today. We pray for your help. I ask for your help in preaching. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so look in your Bibles, Matthew 4, and look down to verse number 17. And it says, from that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, verse 18 says, and Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren. Does anyone in your Bible just have a footnote right there or one of those little letters that brings you to the cross references in your Bible, where it shows you what other passages, and so it'll say like, see Mark, does anyone say this, Mark 1, 16 through 20, and then it probably says Luke 5, 1 through 11, everybody got that, little cross references? I want to tell you, cross references can be very helpful in your Bible reading and your study and your understanding, but you need to understand this. The cross references are not inspired, okay? The words of Scripture are inspired. These are God's words right here. But in the middle of this column here, if you have other notes in your Bible, those aren't necessarily inspired. And so sometimes you're going to have references that really help you. Other times you're going to have references that link things that may or may not be should be linked. All right. So we're going to go through and we're going to look at these three different accounts of this story here. And what I'm going to show you is that I don't believe these are all the same story. I'm just going to lay it out right out front and tell you that whenever we read these three accounts, I believe we're going to figure out one of them is not like the others. OK, so in Matthew 4, verse 17, just read with me. We have in verse number 17, Jesus beginning to preach, right? And to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And then verse 18, Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. I want you to hear some of these details so that we don't have to keep going back. But notice this, the Lord's walking by the sea. He sees Peter and Andrew. And what were they doing? Say it with me. What were they doing? They were fishing. What were they doing specifically? They were casting a net in the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on thence, he saw two other brethren, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father. And what were they doing? Mending their nets. Now, another thing is this, were they all together? No, you have two groups of disciples here, and the first ones are They were casting a net. The second one, they're mending their nets. Okay, so you come along, James and John there, the sons of Thunder, right? Thunder and Sons Fishing Co. That's what they were. And they were mending their nets, they're fixing their nets, and he called unto them. Have any of you been fishing before with a net? You know, when you have to fix the net is when you had something in it. Okay, that's when so they're fishing and apparently they've caught something because now they're fixing the nets, right? And so the Lord calls unto them. He called unto them, it says in the end of verse 21, and immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. Now, look at your chart here for a second, because I want you to see some of the order of events we have in Matthew. Now, understand the Gospels are the account of Jesus' life and ministry in the New Testament. And we have four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And each of these Gospels gives us a view of Jesus. And so Matthew, he was watching. The Holy Spirit inspired him to write his Gospel. Then Mark and Luke and John. And in some cases, we have the same story in multiple Gospels. And what that does is it really helps us to see the same story from a different perspective. Okay, so when you're reading the Gospels and especially when you read Matthew, Mark, and Luke, it's almost like you've heard it before. When you get to Mark, you're like, man, it seems like I've heard this before. You have, right? Then you get to Luke and you're going, man, it seems like I've heard this before. And again, you have. And so it helps us to look at the story from different perspectives. I believe that's why God gave us that. But I want you to see also not just the details of the story, but the order of events. So that's why I gave you the sheet. In verse number 13, notice that Jesus is leaving Nazareth in verse number 13, comes and dwells in Capernaum or Capernaum, which is upon the seacoast and the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali. And so the Lord is, again, from Galilee area, he's leaving to go to Jordan. In verses 13 through 17, we have the baptism that takes place, right? Matthew chapter 3, and I'm in chapter 4. I'm sorry. I was reading chapter 4. Interestingly enough, he's also leaving Nazareth and going to Capernaum in chapter 4. But I really meant to say in chapter number 3, then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. Okay, you see that in verse 13? So he's coming from Galilee, the northern area of Israel. He's coming down to the wilderness of Judea where John was ministering, and he's going there to be baptized. In verses 13 through 17, we have Jesus' baptism. Does everybody see that in your Bible there? That's when Jesus was baptized of John the Baptist. In chapter 4, and again, this is in your chart here, we have the temptation of Jesus, right? The Spirit leads the Lord into the wilderness. He's tempted of the devil, right? The three temptations, turn the stones into bread, right? jump off the pinnacle of the temple. He's tempted of the devil. Of course, he uses scripture there, and he doesn't give in to any of those temptations. And then he moves on. After his temptation, we see in verse number 12 that John the Baptist, or rather that the Lord had heard that John the Baptist was put into prison. In verse number 12 then, it says that he departed into Galilee, okay, chapter 4 and verse 12. So now he's returning to Galilee. He's back in Nazareth there in verses, he's leaving Nazareth there in 13, and in 14 through 16, he is he's in Capernaum serving there. And in verse 17, he starts to preach the kingdom of heaven. Now, you're going, man, we went through all that. What are you talking about? I'm just going through the order of events, okay? So the Lord leaves Galilee. He goes down where John's ministering. He's baptized. Then he goes off into the wilderness, into the west there. He's tempted of the Lord, or tempted of Satan. And then he comes back. He hears that John's put into prison. He comes back up to Capernaum, the Galilee area, and he begins to preach. This is the very beginning of the Lord's ministry. Okay, so he's baptized before he ever starts preaching, right? He gets back up there and he begins to preach. Now, we have our story in verses 18 through 22, where Jesus calls Peter and Andrew, who were casting a net, and then James and John, who were mending their nets, he calls them. And then the Lord goes on to minister. Verses 23 through 25, it says, "And Jesus went all about all Galilee, teaching in the synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria." And so he's going and he's teaching and he's preaching, he's healing people, and he's beginning to get famous, right? People are beginning to hear about Jesus and how he's healing everyone. In chapters 5 through 7 of Matthew, we have the Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount, in your notes there, I put that it's a parenthetical, meaning that he goes and he preaches this sermon, but this sermon's not given for us in the other gospels. So when we look at the order of events, we know that the Lord went and preached this sermon, but it may not be written down in the other gospels specifically as it is here. So 5, 6, and 7, he's preaching a sermon. And notice in chapter number 8, in verse 1, he's now continuing his ministry. Does everybody see that? "When he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. Behold, there came a leper and worshipped him." So he heals this leper and he continues his ministry. In verses 5 through 13, the Lord heals the centurion's servant. Remember, this is the guy that the Lord said that he was amazed, or he marveled at his faith. And he said he has faith even like I haven't seen in Israel, right? That centurion's servant was healed. And then in chapter 8, verse 14 through 16, notice that he goes and heals Peter's mother-in-law. Look at verse 14, chapter 8, 14. "When Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them." Now, notice the next phrase in verse 16, "And when even was come." Okay, what does that mean? Night, right? Nightfall came. So we're just getting the order of events. So is everybody with me so far? This is just the order of events as Matthew lays them out. Now turn to the book of Mark. The book of Mark in chapter number 1. Book of Mark in chapter number 1. We have the story given to us in verses 16 through 20. 16 through 20. Now notice this. "Now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother." What were they doing? "Casting a net into the sea, before they were fishers. Jesus said unto them, Come ye after me, and I will make you become fishers of men. And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him." He'd gone a little further thence and saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were also in the ship. What were they doing? Mending their nets. You see how the details are the same, right, so far? So they're casting a net, then they're mending their nets, and straightway he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the ship with the hired servants and went after him. Now, so we have the same story given to us, at least in detail. Let's see if the order of events checks out. Look at verse number 9, Mark chapter 1, verse number 9. "It came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth to Galilee and was baptized of John in the Jordan." Right? So here we have Jesus going from Nazareth to Galilee. I'm sorry, verse number 9, Nazareth of Galilee. He came from there, so he's going down where John is. And he was baptized of John in the Jordan. Verse number 10, still his baptism. But notice verse number 12, the next thing that happens, immediately the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness. And he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan. So far, order of events look pretty good, right? Look at verse 14. Now, after that, John was put in prison. We read that in Matthew, didn't we? John was put in prison, okay? After that, what happens? Well, look at verse 14. Jesus came into Galilee, and what does he start doing? Preaching the gospel of the kingdom and saying, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. So all the events leading up to our story of Jesus calling the disciples, they're all the same, aren't they, so far? Let's continue. Now, Mark doesn't give us near as much detail, but in verses 21 through 28, Jesus ministers in Galilee. He preaches in the synagogue. He casts out, all this is in your notes, casts out spirits, and his fame begins to spread abroad. Notice verse 28, immediately his fame spread abroad throughout all the region round about Galilee. Now, look down to verse number 32. We would expect I guess it starts in verse 30. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever, and anon they tell him of her. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she ministered unto them, the next phrase, and at even, and if you're wondering what that meant, when the sun did set. You see? So now, when the sun sets, that's the end of a day, isn't it? Okay, so what I'm doing, right? I'm setting you up. Okay, I'm not setting you up. I'm just trying to help you to understand. When we read the scriptures, you can tell what happens day to day to day, and you can if you study, you can sort of put the pieces together and understand the order of events. So we have these the order of events, and so far it seems as if Matthew and Mark tell the same story of the disciples, and so the Lord calls Peter and Andrew. It's a great story. He's walking by the sea. They're throwing a net out in the sea because they're fishermen. And the Lord says, follow me, right? I'll make you fishers of men. And so straightway, it says they left their nets and followed him. He goes a little bit further, and there's James and John, and he says to them, follow me. And so they leave their nets, and they were mending them. I mean, they were fixing their nets, and they just leave them right there, and they follow the Lord. Now, I've heard it preached and taught, And even our cross-references in our Bible would tell us that the story we find in Luke is the very same story. Let's go over to Luke and chapter number 5. And actually, first, let's take a look at the order of events. Okay, so look at Luke chapter. Our story is in Luke chapter 5 and verse 1 through 11. But let's look at the order of events. Notice, in chapter number 3, we have the baptism of Jesus. And that's down in verse number 21. Luke chapter 3. Everybody following here? Okay, I know this is a lot of like just, you know, going through these details. I promise you there's a message in here somewhere, okay? Luke chapter 3 in verse number 21. Now, when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heaven was opened and the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven which said, thou art my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. All right, and so we have the baptism of Jesus. Okay, then we have this parenthetical genealogy given here. You notice that? How now we're going to see about the family story of Jesus. But if you go to chapter 4, it says in Jesus, first verse, Jesus being full of the Holy Ghost returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. So we have this whole thing where Jesus is up north in Galilee. He goes down to be baptized of John in the wilderness. Then he goes over to the west into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil, verse 1 and 2 there. And then he returns to Galilee, verse number 14, and Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him throughout all the region round about, and he taught in their synagogues, and being glorified of all. Now you could go and actually read all the next, really most of the next chapter, down through verse number 37, and what you'll find is it's just a description of Jesus' ministry, his continued ministry in Galilee. Here's the problem. We haven't seen him call out the disciples by the seaside yet, have we? Okay, well, let's keep going. Go down to verse number 38, chapter 4, verse 38. And he arose out of the synagogue and entered into Simon's house. And Simon's wife's mother was taken with a great fever. And they besought him for her. And he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately she arose and ministered unto them. Verse 40, now when the sun was setting, right? Is that not identical so far to what we've read? But here's the issue. Verse 42, notice, and when it was day. Now, some of you smart folks out here, when the sun goes down and it's night, and then you see something that says it was day, what has happened? Oh, it's a new day. See, y'all are just as smart as me. I'm telling you, understanding the Bible isn't as hard as you think. It just takes a little reading, right? So it's the next day. Is it clear right there that it's the next day? Notice chapter 4-5 then, because this is where we have the what some would call the third account of the story of the calling of the disciples. Some would say, hey, this is when the Lord walked by the seaside and he said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. But notice, just by the order of events, we got a problem. And you're going to go, well, either there's a mistake in our Bible, which there is not, or we need to understand what's going on, which we're about to do. Notice then, the next thing we have is in chapter 5, and it came to pass, as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake Gennesaret, and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them, and were what? What were they doing? They were washing their nets. They weren't cast. There's a few things different here. I'm just going to point out some differences in the story. There's a few things different. First of all, the Lord's not walking by the sea, watching them cast a net, is he? No, the people are pressed upon him. You know why? Because he's already famous. He's already been healing and teaching and preaching, and he's famous. And now the people are pressed upon him, and they're wanting to hear him preach, and there's probably people there that need to be healed and all that. I mean, he is in the middle of ministry. And he sees two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them. You see, this is a different story. And they were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. So he then walks and gets right into Peter's boat and says, Peter, push me out a little bit. These people need to hear the word, and they can't all see me if you'll push me out. And so what a cool thing where the Lord gets in a boat, they push him out a little bit from the land, and he's in the boat just teaching all the people on the shore. Did you see any of those details in the first couple of stories? I'm telling you, it's a different story. Now, many would argue that's why it seems like I'm angry. Y'all think I'm angry, don't you? No, of course not. I'm not angry. It's been taught so many times. These are all the same story. This is the calling of the disciples. But if we believe that, we're missing the truth right here in the scripture. Okay, so he's teaching out of the boat. He sat down and he taught the people out of the ship. Now, when he had left speaking, he said to Simon, notice all this attention to Peter. You noticing that? Whose boat did he get in? Peter's. Now he's going to say Simon is the same as Peter, right? Simon Peter. He says to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answered, said unto him, Master, we've toiled all night and have taken nothing. You know, that's why they were washing their nets. Right? Or what were they doing? Yeah, washing their nets. They weren't fixing them. They weren't casting them. They were washing them. They had fished all night and caught nothing. And so then the Lord says, we've toiled all night and taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I'll let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. I mean, amazing. And they came and filled both the ships so that they began to sink. And when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. Now, where was that in Matthew? You don't see. No, in Matthew, he leaves the nets and follows them. Here, he's convicted. He just heard Jesus preach a sermon out of the boat. And then Jesus asked him a straight up question. Hey, Peter, why don't you go out there and see how good a fisherman you are? And so Peter says, well, we haven't caught anything, but at your word, I mean, there's some faith that Peter's showing here. At your word, we'll let down the net. And they go out there and they start fishing, and they catch so many fish, their nets break. And so they call the others, they come, and I mean, they're filling the ships with fish so much, it says in verse number 7 that they begin to sink. And when Peter sees this, when he sees, I mean, Peter knows he's a fisherman. The Sea of Galilee is not that big. You can take a modern boat today and buzz across Galilee, no problem. I mean, he knows where the, I'm just telling you, he knows where the fishing spots are. And he's been fishing all night, and he's not catching anything. And the Lord says, hey, Peter, hop out there. Sorry, I'm in your boat. Let me get out of your boat, Peter. Hop in and go for a ride. See if you can catch something. And Peter goes out there and he catches so many fish that it's about to sink two boats. And he sees this and he's convicted. He says, depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man. For he was astonished and all that were with him at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. So was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And let me ask you this, were they all together this time? They were all together. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And so I'm just wanting to pose this to you, that this is not the same story. There's too many differences. The order of events are different. The actual story, if we just read it, is different. Really, the only thing that's similar or the same, and I think why people go ahead and just link it together, is because at the end, the Lord says, thou shalt catch men. And so it's that phrase where the Lord says, you'll be a fisher of men if you follow me. And so we just take that and we go, okay, these must be the same story. The fact is, and let me just, I mean, you study the accounts and you see what's going on and you see the repentance of Peter. And you see on your chart there that the Lord called the disciples back in Matthew 4 and in Mark chapter 1. He called the disciples. And then he goes on ministering in Galilee. And the next thing you know, he's healing Peter's mother-in-law. And then all of a sudden, he's calling the disciples again. Let me ask a question and just reason it out. If you call someone to follow you over here, and then some time passes, and you do a bunch of things, some days and nights transpire, and then over here you call them to follow you again, what transpired between story one and story two? Time. You know what happened? They stopped following. At some point, Zebedee called and said, hey, James, John, where are y'all at? That's not in the Bible. No. The fishing business is suffering. Where you boys been? Oh, we're following Jesus now. Okay, good. Follow him. That's good. But if you read, and we missed a bunch of verses there, but if you keep reading, what you find is the Lord had some opposition. And there were some trials. And there were some people threatening to kill the Lord. And the next thing you know, you find the disciples not with Jesus. All of a sudden, he's over here pressed about, and the people are gathered around him, and he's preaching, and he's healing, and all that. But the disciples are over here in their boat washing their nets that they had already left. You see what's happened? The Lord called them. They said, sure, Lord, we'll follow you. They drop the nets. They start following. At some point, for some reason, we don't know why. Maybe it's persecution. Maybe it's just some worldly draw, whatever it is. For some reason, they go back to fishing. And so the second time the Lord meets them. When he finds them by that lake, and I love this, he gets right in Peter's boat. You ever been straying away from the Lord and all of a sudden it's like the Lord just got right in your boat? I mean, have you ever been there? Where you're like, okay, I'm you're off the path and you're not doing what's right. And all of a sudden it's like the Lord just shows up and like, hey, I know what you're doing here. He gets in Peter, he says, you know what, Peter, I got to preach a message. I'm going to borrow your boat. I know you've been fishing, but just let me use it for a few minutes. He got right in Peter's boat. I love that. And he preaches the message. We don't know what it was on, but he preaches to the people. No doubt Peter is sitting there listening as well. And then the Lord performs a miracle. He gets out of the boat and says, okay, Peter, you without me, here's the rule, or here's the truth he's reiterating with Peter, without me you can do nothing, let me show you. You left, Peter. You walked away from what I'd called you from. You went back to fishing, and it didn't work out too good. You forgot where the fishing spots were. But just go back out there, Peter, and give it a try. and see what happens. And he catches so many fish that the nets break. And so then Peter comes in. And listen, all of a sudden Peter is falling down and saying, Lord, I'm not worthy. Depart from me. I'm a sinful man. What's he repenting of? The first story, he's not got nothing to, he's got something to repent for because he's born a sinner, but you know what he's repenting of? Lord, I should have been following you this whole time. Why did I ever go back to fishing? Peter gave up on Jesus, but Jesus didn't give up on Peter. The Lord said, and he said it with his actions, without me, you can do nothing. The Lord also said by his actions, we are called, Peter, you are called to a higher purpose than all your fishing pursuits. That's what he's telling him. I already told you, Peter, you're not catching fish anymore. By the way, if you're a fisherman, you understand there's a spiritual thing going on here. Nothing wrong with fishing. But Peter's preoccupied by going back to his old ways. And so he's seen repenting. The Lord tells him, fear not. Fear not. I think that gives us a little bit of insight as to why he left. It's not easy following the Lord. There's a lot of unknowns when you step out and try to follow Jesus. In fact, the Lord told us, hey, follow me. And you're going, yeah, I'll follow you. By the way, there's going to be a lot of trials. By the way, it's not going to be easy. No, the easy road is that big, wide path everyone else is on. I'm going to bring you down the challenging path. And somewhere along the line, fear grew in these disciples' heart. And they stopped following. Now you go, I don't know about all that. Prove me wrong. It's what the Bible says. It's the order. It's the details. No, and I know we love to revere these disciples. We love to look at them, but these guys are just people like us. And here's what I understand is, a people like me, sometimes I try to go back to fishing. That's what I know. Sometimes I know what I've been called to do, and I know that I'm called to a higher purpose than all of my fishing pursuits, but sometimes I turn around and I think, man, maybe I'll just go back to fishing. And I'm glad the Lord has mercy and doesn't give up on me, and he gets right back in my boat, and he says, hey, bud, what are you doing here? This ain't working out too good, is it? You need to get back to what I've called you to do. Notice, and this is cool. This isn't the message. We're not even to the message yet. Y'all, are y'all okay? This is all just good stuff. Just doing a little Bible study. No, we're gonna get to the message. But this is like a free message inside a message right here. You need to see this. Actually, someone just take your Bible. Go back to Matthew 4. Just somebody. Cody's over here. You can do that. Someone go to Mark chapter 1. See, this is when you're like, hey, are we in Sunday school or morning service? Who knows? Who cares? Are you having as much fun as I am? All right. Okay, whoever's in Matthew chapter 4, it says this when they left their... it says this. They left their what? They forsook their what? Their nets. Good. They forsook their nets. If you're in Mark, if you'll read... When they left, when they followed the Lord, what did they leave? What did they forsake? Their nets. Now everybody look at Luke with me. Luke 5. The second time Jesus called them and said, hey, follow me. Luke chapter number 5. And look down to verse number 11. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all. You see that? And followed him. They forsook all. I mean, they didn't say, Dad, we'll be back later. No, they left it all there. It wasn't just the nets. They left their business. They left the boat. They left the nets. They left all them fish sitting there too. They left it all. See, when the Lord calls us, sometimes we're real good about saying, okay, Lord, I'll give you a few things, and we drop a few nets. But we hadn't forsaken all. And so when times get hard, we have we might call it a backup plan. I could go back to that. I still got this going, after all. No, they forsook all. Let me give you a better cross reference here. Here comes the message, right? If you want a good cross-reference, you cross-reference Matthew 4 and Mark 1, because those are the same story. Okay? Luke 5 is its own story. There's not another account of it in the Bible. It's its own story. The Lord called the disciples twice. This time, Peter at least repented of the sin of going back to fishing, and he repented of that, and he gets right with the Lord. And then it says they, all the disciples, forsake all, and as far as I can tell, until John 21, they follow the Lord. But turn in your Bibles to John 21. So if you want to cross-reference something, cross-reference Luke 5 with John 21. Now, it's not that these are the same story. They're not. But it's Peter going back to doing what he's good at. Now, why this message today? Well, John 21 takes place after the resurrection. So when you want to know, okay, what happens after Easter? What should I be doing? Well, let me show you what Peter tried to go do. You know what he did? He tried to go back to fishing again. You know, there's this thing. Jesus asked Peter, and this is, again, we're going to get to the message I want to get to. There's just so many good things here. How many times did Jesus ask Peter if he loved him? How many times did Jesus have to call Peter? Three. Yeah, let's look. John 21. Oh, man, there's so much good here. After these things, so Jesus has died, risen from the dead. The Lord showed himself to the disciples a little bit, but apparently he's been gone a while. And so they're kind of all standing around, where's the Lord? And Simon Peter gets down. I mean, I don't know if he lost faith. I'm not trying to tell you something that isn't there in the text, but I know this. In verse number 3, he said, I go fishing. I mean, he's just saying, well, if the Lord's gone, what is there for us to do? We know where those old boats we left are. We know where the nets are. I'm going fishing. And the rest of the disciples said, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. And Jesus saith unto them, children, have ye any meat? They answered him, no. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. Now, just they don't know that it's Jesus. Did y'all get that? I mean, the Lord is resurrected. He's alive. Easter happened. They had a great Easter Sunday. But, you know, Monday happened, and the job happened, and the boss is still not saved, and the world's still trying to chew us up and spit us out. Where's the Lord been for the last few days? I'm going fishing. And so they go out there, and they go fishing. I mean, they're fishing all night, and they're like, man, we're not catching anything. I just wonder if any of the disciples at any point go, this feels familiar. When was the last time we ran a net around and caught nothing? Nothing. I mean, it's a big net. You're going to catch something. No, they caught nothing. And then some guy, he's the Lord, they don't know it, comes to the shore and he goes, hey, have you caught anything? No. Well, cast the net on the other side. I mean, it almost feels like he's making fun of him. I mean, that's like you're out there fishing and a guy's like, hey, just throw it off in the other. I think the fish are over here. And you're going, for some reason, they do it. They put the net on the other side, and all of a sudden they enclose, it says, a great multitude of fishes. They enclose a great multitude of fishes. Verse 6. Now therefore, the disciple whom Jesus loved, that's John. He says unto Peter, it's the Lord. I'm telling you, goosebumps are on my neck right now. It's the Lord. They remember the thing that happened the last time they could catch nothing. And now they call it, they're remembering it. And John looks over at Peter and goes, that's the Lord. Peter, being the impulsive one that he is, jumps right out of the boat. He jumps out of the boat. He doesn't care about the fish. He apparently doesn't care about his fellow disciples. He's going to see the Lord. He jumps out of the boat. He starts swimming to shore. All the other disciples up. There goes Peter again. Well, let's get these. We got to do this job. We got to do this job ourselves. Let's gather up all these fish. disciples came in another little ship, and verse number 8, and they got all these fish. It tells us here that there were, it tells us how far they were from the land, dragging this net. And as soon as they were come to the land, verse 9, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon in bread. Here's what I'm trying to tell you. Jesus already had fish, okay? They're out there all night looking for fish. Well, if they would have just been with Jesus, they would have had not just bread, but also, or not just fish, but also hush puppies. No, he had the bread too. And it was cooking. You see what I'm saying? It was cooking. I want to taste fish that Jesus made. Had they just been walking with the Lord the whole time, they would have realized, if we just stick with the Lord, we catch the fish we're intended to catch. But without Him, we can do nothing. The Lord, how do you know? Well, the Lord says, hey, bring those fish that you caught. Look at what it says here. Verse 10. Jesus already has fish on the fire and bread. They're about to eat. But He says, yeah, go ahead and drag them up here. And like good fishermen, they counted. I don't know if they put a tape on all of them. I probably would have. But they counted all of them, 153 fish there. Jesus says, hey, bring all those fish up here. Now, they're not about to eat these fish. But the Lord says, we're going to need these. And they come up to the Lord, and I love verse 12. The Lord says, come and dine. He's going to get on to the disciples in a way, but He doesn't rebuke them here. He's just so loving. He's so patient. He says, I got sustenance for you right here. Come eat, Peter. Peter, come eat. James, get some of this. John, come and dine. So they're eating, and no one says anything to the Lord. Look what it says. Where is it at here? Come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask Him, who art thou? Knowing it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. Now this is the third time Jesus showed Himself to the disciples after He was risen from the dead. This is also the third time that Jesus has to call the disciples and get them back out of the fishing business and into the ministry. And the Lord looks at Peter. You ever feel, just put yourself in Peter's shoes? I mean, he gets in Peter's boat. He asks Peter, hey Peter, you caught anything? And now they're eating dinner. And the Lord looks over at Peter, and I almost feel like I can see Peter doing one of these. No, don't say nothing. Me again? Talk to him. You know why I know he's thinking about talking to him? Because he brings up John in just a minute. Lord, could you pick on someone else? But no, he looks right at Peter. And I'm not going to go through this whole series. There's great stuff here. Just the first question. Simon Peter, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? I've heard a lot of speculation about what the more than these are. And most people land on, well, he's looking all at the disciples' faces glowing by that evening fire. And he's saying, look, Peter, do you love me more than you love them? And I'm not saying that's a bad thought. But you know what I believe the Lord is looking at? I believe He's looking at a pile of 153 fishes. Why else would the Lord ask them to bring those fish up there when they weren't going to eat them? No, He looks at Peter and He says, Peter, do you love me more than these? Why would He ask Him? Well, it's like kind of Peter's thing to go back to the fish. And Peter says, Lord, and you can just when you read it, Lord, you know I love you. But more than these, Peter? Peter, seems like every time I turn around, you're going back to find those old nets. Seems like every time I turn around, you're trying to do something that I didn't call you to do. And I love to pick on Peter, but can I tell you, it's all of us. We have a big Easter Sunday. Praise the Lord, great Sunday. We have a revival. I mean, last month, we don't have anything on the bulletin this week. You know why? Because last month it was like, bam, 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 bam. Just need a little break, right? It was great. Revival. Ladies just came back from a ladies' meeting. We have revival. Then we us men go and we get chewed out again for 2 days. It's great. Then we come back. It's Easter Sunday. Now what? How do you stay up there? We're so good about, well, that was a good service, or I know what the Lord spoke to me about, and I was pretty excited about it a couple days ago, but man, it's been a tough couple of days. And I'm just telling you, we're real good at going back to fishing. And you just fill in the blank with whatever that is. Maybe it's some sin that the Lord wants you to get rid of. Oh, you're pretty good at going back to it. I mean, maybe it's something that's just, it's just taking the place of what God's called you to. Some other priority, some other focus. We go back to fishing. And so the Lord asked him three times, Lord, Peter, do you love me? And he tells him, feed my sheep, feed my sheep. He's getting him ready. He's getting him ready to lead the church. But don't miss this. Peter, I mean, he's in the hot seat, right? He's sweating bullets. The Lord's asking him all these questions. He's looking at those fish over there flopping around. And he's just waiting for him to get. And so he says, Lord, what about him? Let me go read it. He says, what about him? What about John? John was fishing too, Lord. Did you not see John? Right? He was fishing too. And the Lord says, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? And then here's these words. Follow thou me. Peter, don't worry about John. Now, the disciples, they started a rumor. John's going to live forever. He's going to come. He's going to be alive till the Lord comes back. But that's, John clears it up and says, that's not what the Lord said. The Lord just said, mind your own business. Don't worry about what this person's doing or that person's doing. You know what happens when you start looking at the people around you? You'll find out they're going back to fishing. Now, John didn't do that, but you'll find out. I mean, they'll discourage you. Or, I mean, sometimes you look at others and they encourage you, but I'm just telling you, the Lord's saying this. Keep your mind on what I've asked you to do now for the third time. Follow thou me. What I've called you to do is greater than any fish you'll ever catch. Follow thou me. So, church, this morning, what are we to do? Well, I believe the Lord wants us to follow him. I believe after Easter, the Lord's still alive. He's still wanting us to go and carry that great commission to the next to those people that need it. He's still wanting us to serve him and live for him and do all of those things. The calling has not changed. So the question we have is this, and the question I have for you is this, for me as well. Are you following or fishing? Let's pray together. Lord, we do thank you for the day. Thank you for your word. And I pray that it be a help to us today. Lord, would you please, by your Spirit,